Blog Talk Radio.
Prince Malachi.
Ohio, the only Elohim. He's the only Savior. and he's the only judge. He's the only lawgiver.
And there is no other God. Even the false deities of the earth do not proclaim the majesty, the power that Yahweh himself proclaims. There is no deity that claims that they are the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. There is no deity that claims this. Christ doesn't claim this. There is no God that you can bring forth and mention that claims to be the creator of the heavens, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. It's only one that claims it. It's only one that proclaims it. And it's only one that did it. And that's Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Hallelujah. And like I said, it's a privilege and a pleasure to come before the people that had this opportunity to bring forth Yahweh's true, unadulterated word. And if you've been tuning in to the weekly messages that Yahweh's servants, Yahweh witnesses has been bringing forth, but then you've truly been getting a treat. You've been truly getting a blessing. And this week, we have been dealing with the seven witnesses of Yahweh. And I love this subject. I love this topic. And I love this message. Because we're talking about not just Yahweh's witnesses, but we're talking about Yahweh's seven witnesses. And when you see that seven put on the name, when you see that seven put on the title, then you know it's something that Yahweh has separated from the fold. And yes, all Israel, we all are his witnesses. But the seven witnesses that we're talking about this week has been separated from the fold. And they represent something specific to his highest order. And we've already been blessed to hear about the first witness. And what are the witnesses that we're talking about? What are they witnessing to? They're witnessing to Yahweh's judgment and truth. That's what these witnesses are doing. And the judgment specifically, we're talking about the judgments of time, your months and your years. And we heard about Noah, the first witness. And my goodness, can you get a greater witness than Noah? It's not too many men that you can mention by name even greater than this man named Noah. And then you heard about Moses. The Most High said, this man is the most faithful man in all my house. There will never be a prophet like unto him. So you can't. This, you can see why these witnesses were separated from the fold. And then you have Aaron, the third witness, that witnessed to the same thing that Moses witnessed to, that witnessed to the same thing Noah witnessed to, and that there's only 30 days, and not man's month and man's time, but in Yahweh's months, in Yahweh's time. Because if you was listening, you heard the Most High said Noah walked with Elohim. So the only time that he walked in was the time of Yah, his judgments. And we know Moses walked with the Most High. And we know Aaron did as well. They walked in and out of the tabernacle of Yah. And they had the spirit of Yahweh upon them. They were anointed men, righteous men. And so they knew the judgments and the truth of Yah. And today I bring to you the fourth and the fifth witness. And it's, like I said, this is an astounding, beautiful topic of discussion. And it's vitally important that we know not only Yahweh's seven witnesses, but we know Yahweh's witnesses, period. And let me show you this in the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. In the book of Isaiah 43, we're going to start reading at verse, 9. Start at 9.
Isaiah 43 verse 9 reads, "Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who amongst them can declare this?"
Listen, this is what you need to understand. Who amongst them can declare this? And like I said, Yahweh. Who is this Yahweh? He's the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. And who amongst the nations, who amongst the gods can declare that? None of them can declare it. Not only that, none of them don't declare it. The Most High said his glory he would not give to another Elohim. There is no Elohim you can bring forth to see it. Man, he said the same thing. No, nobody says that. Only one says that is Yah. But it says, who among them can declare this? The things that we're showing you today about the seven witnesses of Yahweh. Who can declare it?
And show us former things.
Who can show us former things? Well, the only person that can do that are the witnesses of Yahweh. Because only Yahweh can declare the truth. Only Yahweh can show the truth. Only Yahweh can show the former things. Because, see, when the past become the past, and then you rely on false witnesses to declare the former things, then you get a false story. You get lies. But when you get true witnesses that know the truth that Yahweh has declared, then you get the whole history. You get the whole story and how it lined up all the way to this day. That's why we got the whole story about how these 7 days started in the beginning. The 7 days of creation. And here it is to this day. We're still living. Every nation on the earth is still living in the confines of these 7 days. We all live in a week. Except for some silly people that think they live in some type of 8-day week and 9-day week. But in real life, they living in a 7-day week. In their mind, they living in this fantasy land. Just like some people might tell you that a day starts at night. But in reality, a day starts in the morning. That's why when they get up in the crack of the day and the day is beginning, they don't say good night. They say good morning. Little kids know the difference. But who can show us the former things? Go ahead.
Let them bring forth their witnesses.
Let them bring forth their witnesses. And this is what we're doing. We're bringing forth witnesses that's witnessing to that which Yahweh has declared, that which Yahweh has shown from the former past. Keep going.
That they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is true.
And it's only one or two things when you bring your witnesses. It's only one or two things that's going to happen when you begin to declare and start to show us the former thing. You're going to be justified, and we're going to say it's true, or we're going to say that you are a lie and you're a false witness. And watch what the Most High said in the 10th verse.
Ye are my witnesses, saith Yah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and besides me, there is no Savior.
And the Most High is speaking to the nation of Israel, like I said. He said, ye are my witnesses, says Yah, and my servant whom I've chosen. And that's why it's a privilege and a pleasure to come before the people today as a servant of Yah, as a witness for Yah, to bring forth the witnesses that he sanctified to declare his truth. Go to Isaiah 44, and start at verse 8.
It reads, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there an Elohim besides me?"
We don't have to be afraid like other people. We don't have to fear the signs of the heavens. We don't have to fear when the eclipse is happening. The Most High said, have I not already told thee from that time, from the beginning, and have declared it to you Everything had a time and season. And the Most High already told us about it. The lights was created on the fourth day. He told us about that time. And he told us the purpose. Sun rule over the day. The moon rule over the night. And the stars also. And these lights are also to divide the day from the night. But for some reason, we want to mingle and bring the day and the night back together. And we're going to want to make the moon to rule during the day and make the sun rule during the night. I don't know what. It's pure confusion. The Most High says, don't be afraid. I've already told you from that time. I've declared it. And no one's declared this. You are my witnesses. Is there an Elohim beside me? And I can witness that there is no Elohim beside Yah. Because there is no word on earth that can compare to the word that Yahweh has given us. The sound wisdom that he has given us. There is no counsel. There is no understanding that can stand against the words of Yah. None. And keep reading.
Is there an Elohim beside me? Yea, there is no Elohim. I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed.
And if you your own witness, what kind of witness is that? How you going to be your own witness? Well, your own witness is not even a witness. You can't go into the courts to even the day and say, I'm going to be my own witness. It won't stand. You need witnesses outside of yourself to proclaim the truth. The Most High said, by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a matter be established. So you can't be your own witness. Yahweh has not even been his own witness. That's why we his witnesses. But like I said, this subject today is it's astounding. And we're going to show you how astounding it is. Go to Isaiah 41. The Most High, all he said is just bring forth your witnesses. And my goodness, that's why I'm praising Yahweh today, because here it is. We're bringing forth witnesses. And we're not just bringing forth any kind of witnesses. We're bringing forth the strongest, most righteous men that you can never talk about in any discussion. It don't get no stronger than Noah and Moses and Aaron and David and Solomon. And this is the witnesses we're talking about. And all you have to do is bring forth your witnesses. Isaiah 41. What do it say in verse 21?
Produce your cause.
Produce your cause.
Saith Yah.
Saith Yah. See, this is thus says Yah. And if your cause is some months is 29 and some months is 30. If some months is 49 and some months is 50. I don't care what your whatever your cause is. Well, that's good. Produce it so we can hear it. Says Yah.
Bring forth your strong reasons.
Now, since that's what you believe, now I want you to bring forth the reason that you believe that. And if you bring forth the reasons you believe it, Yahweh already done told us. You have to bring your witnesses to establish the matter. You have to bring your witnesses. Go ahead.
Saith the king of Yahakob, let them bring them forth. And show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them.
And Yahweh already said that, listen, who amongst them can even declare this? It's only one that can declare the truth. It's only one that can declare the former things. And that's Yahweh and his witnesses. Because Yahweh's witnesses, the only thing they come to the scene with, only thing they put on the table is thus says Yah. thus says Yah. And outside of thus says Yah, I don't have no understanding. Out of thus says Yah, I don't have no wisdom. Out of thus says Yah, I don't have no knowledge. Period. That's how the true witnesses, the true servants of Yahweh roll. Go ahead.
Or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are Elohims. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together.
And yes, so we can know that you're Elohim. Because if you really got the truth, if you really got the words of Yah, well, knowledge is power. And if you got that kind of power, oh, yes, you are God. You are God. And that's what the Most High called his servants. That's what he called his witnesses. He said, we just a little lower than the angels, but we're gods, bringing forth his truth. Go to the book of Isaiah 42. Verse 1 says,
behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delight.
Yeah, you better behold my servant. This is somebody you want to look at and pay attention to. Noah wasn't no man that just came on the scene and the Most High took the liberty to put him in his book and his whole life story. He wasn't just some man that just got forgotten in history. The Most High said, behold my servants. Behold my elect in whom my soul delights. He delighted in Noah. He delighted in Moses. All the witnesses of Yah he delighted in. He says, what now?
I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth.
He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And somebody might say, well, oh, Naphtali, this, behold my servant, this ain't talking about, no. This is talking about all the elect and servants of Yah. And yes, it is talking about futuristic elect, but this is consistent with the former elect as well. Why you think the Most High says seek the old path where the good way is? Why do you think the Most High said he pleasure in those that follow after righteousness? To follow after righteousness, you have to look to those that came before you. So any servant, any man that walked before Yah and walked with Yah and was perfect and upright, oh yes, I'm going to behold him. I'm going to look at him and see what was he doing that was so right. Because our goal should be to be just like them. But he says, this servant is going to bring judgment unto truth. And this is what we're attempting to do with the people today. We're bringing forth judgment unto truth. Because when you start speaking of Yahweh's time, when you start speaking of Yahweh's months and years, well, this is speaking of Yahweh's judgments. Yahweh's judgments is his measuring balance. This is how he measured, and this is how he balanced. And he measured time, and he balanced time a long time ago. And the thing he said about measuring, he said, diverse measures shall you not have. That's the law. Thou shalt have no diverse measures. And when it comes to balance, he said a false balance is an abomination. So you can imagine how abominable it is to be a false witness. When you bring forth judgment unto truth as a witness of Yah, but then you got somebody else being a false witness, telling you false judgment and false truth. Let me show you this in Proverbs 6 real quick. Before we get to the meat of the matter, what I'm speaking of today, go to Proverbs 6. And what I'm going to show you today is that King David is the fourth witness. Of course he's the fourth witness. If you've been listening in, that the fourth covenant is named after King David. And why was it named after him? Because the fourth covenant is the covenant that was made with him. This was a covenant made with him and his seed. But all praises to the mercies, the sure mercies of Yah, that he promised us, the sure mercies of David. So the same covenant he made with David is a covenant that he opened up for all of Israel, all the tribes. So, of course, he's the fourth witness. And what we already shown is that the fourth represents Yahweh's praise. That's why Yehuda means praise, which is the fourth tribe. That's why we praise Yahweh with the fruits in the fourth year. This is why the fourth commandment is solely about praising Yah on the Sabbath day. So, of course, a man that prays Yah to the highest order of praising Yah, like I pointed out, you won't see a man praise Yahweh more than this man. The way he danced and sang and set his love and affection to the Most High. No wonder he is the fourth witness. But he's a witness to what? He's a witness to Yahweh's judgment. He's a witness to Yahweh's time. Yahweh used him. Do you think the Most High didn't know that in these days and times we was going to have controversy about his laws and times? Do you think the Most High didn't already foresee that? Well, he's the only one can declare it. He's the only one that can show it. He's the only one that knows it. From the beginning, he knows the ending. He already knew we was going to have controversy about his judgments and laws. Why you think in the book of Daniel, he tell you that the wicked would think to change laws and time? So, of course, he had witnesses already ready for the matter. He already had witnesses established for this matter, for this controversy, for this debate that we're debating about today. It's 29 days in a month. It's 30 days in a month. It shouldn't be hard to figure that out. We only all about one day. And all we got to do is trust in the words of Yah, and we can figure this thing out real quick. But let me show you that you got to be careful when you call yourself witnessing for Yah. This ain't no just no game. The Most High said he put his word above his name. So if you don't know of a certainty and of a surety, then you better off holding your peace until Yahweh bless you. But in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, what does it say in the 16th verse?
These six things does Yahweh hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him.
Man, listen, if Yahweh hated, listen, Yahweh's love can't even be measured. You can't measure nothing when it comes to Yah. The only thing you can measure when it comes to Yah is the things that he's already measured. You can't measure his love. You can't measure his hate. And if he hates something, this is something that you want to keep yourself clear, far away from. And if he love it, that's something you want to keep yourself cleave close to. But he said, these six things I hate, and seven of them is an outright abomination. Go ahead.
A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in the running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies.
The Most High said a false witness that speaketh lies. I hate it. It's an outright abomination. What kind of heart devising wicked imaginations want to come through and be a false witness? And see, it's one thing to be a false witness against a man, but my goodness, to be a false witness against Yah, I don't know how we can measure that. I don't know how man can even judge that. Because when you're sinning against man, we can judge it. But when you're just sinning against Yah, you got to know that this is This is a dangerous ground that we walking on when you're dealing with Yah's word. It's best to say, I don't know. Because as soon as you become a false witness, you done put yourself in fire. Period. Let me show you further. In Proverbs 19:9. When I show you about these witnesses, King David the fourth, King Solomon is the fifth, it's going to blow your mind. Proverbs 19:9 says,
a false witness shall not be unpunished.
See, that's why you got to know that you're in fire. The Most High might slide on something, that little candy you stuck in your pocket. Some things the Most High just might slide. But a false witness, you better count and bank on it that a false witness shall not be unpunished.
And he that speaketh lies shall perish.
And you a false witness, you speaking lies, you gon' perish. And this is a sad situation for a lot of us, because we don't realize that we just being a false witness. We don't realize that we lying. Well, you better realize it. You better check what you're saying. Do you know that the Most High said in Exodus, the 23rd chapter, the first verse, if you're saying, thus says Yah, plainly and clearly, then I don't see how you can make that fumble a mistake. But keep it plain and keep it clear. Establish it. Just bring forth your witnesses and your strong reasons. And if you're still at a misunderstanding, you bringing them forth, we can consider it, and then Yahweh will show you where your misunderstanding is. But Exodus 23:1 says,
thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness.
Don't put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. If you have people witnessing to what thus says Yah, well, make sure they bringing forth their witnesses to establish the matter clearly, plainly. We're not like the Christians. The Most High said, don't just believe in me. I want you to know, I want you to believe and understand that I am Yah. There is no savior besides me. And we know Yah is who he is because he done declared it. He done gave us the unadulterated truth. We don't have to be up in the air just thinking and figuring out. And that's why I love Yah. And the last thing on this, before I get into the meat of this matter, go to Exodus, the 20th chapter. I had to show you that, I mean, this subject about the witnesses of Yah, the positive side and the negative side, you got to be shown both. Exodus 20:16 says,
thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now you can kind of get more. See, we get down to the 9th and 10th commandment. We think, well, them commandments ain't even that serious. No, this is the covenant of Yah. The whole 10 commandment is serious. The first one is more serious than the second one, of course. But all 10 is deadly serious. Life serious. It's life threatening. It's one or two things with all 10 of these. It's either giving life or taking life. You can get your life taken just through stealing. The scripture says that if you got caught breaking up, meaning you got caught breaking in somebody's house, and you get smitten and died in the process, the blood was on your own hands just because you want to break in somebody's house and steal. Well, the blood was on your own hands. These 10 commandments are very serious. And a false witness, that's what I said, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. My goodness, but what if you bear false witness against Yah? If you thought the Ten Commandments were serious, We can't even imagine the seriousness we're playing with. Just trying to speak a word in God's name, that's a lie. Most High said he hate a lying tongue, and he hate a false witness. It's an abomination. One last scripture on this. I have to show this. Proverbs 19:9. Did we show that already? I don't think I pointed out a point I needed to point out then. Proverbs 19:9. And actually, no. The one I didn't go to was Proverbs 12:17. Excuse me. And watch this.
Proverbs 12:17 reads, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness."
See, all you got to do is speak truth. When you speak truth, it's inevitable that you have to show forth righteousness. It's one of two things. You showing righteousness just by on the behalf that you're speaking truth, or you speaking the truth on behalf of somebody else that was righteous. And that's what we're going to do today. Really both. Because you have to be the righteous to proclaim the truth. And then you show the truth of those that was living righteous. Because when you look at the life of those that was living righteous, their actions, their testimony of life shows you the truth. These men that walk with Yah, their whole walk was the truth. Their talk was the truth. Their living lifestyle was, it was all about the truth. They didn't have to say nothing. They just show you through their actions that this is what the truth is. And so let's get into it. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 27. Man, if I was teaching something as controversial as the judgments of Yah, the time of Yah, and I couldn't bring forth witnesses this strong, I would be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed. This is way too controversial, way too important to be coming with some weak stuff. The Most High said, bring forth not your weak reasons. He said, bring forth your strong reasons. And watch this strong reason right here. 1 Chronicles, the 27th chapter, start at verse 1.
It reads, "Now the children of Israel, after their number to wit, the chief fathers and captains of thousands and hundreds, and their officers that served the king in any manner of the courses, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year, of every course were 24,000.
Of every course was 24,000 of all the months of the year. And who is this talking about? What king did? This was King David. It says, "Now the children of Israel, after their number to wit." After their number. That's what you want to pay attention to. After their number. And you will see that in the scriptures numerous times. When it says to the children of Israel after their number, or after the number of the children of Israel. And you're going to find out what that number is. But it says, keep reading.
"Over the first course of the first month with Yashabim, the son of Zabdiel, and in his course were 24,000.
Mm-hmm.
"And of the children of Perez, was the chief of all the captains of the host for the first month. And over the course of the second month was Dodaitim, a Hoathite. And of his course was Mikloth, also the ruler, and his course likewise were 24,000.
So in the first month we had 24,000. That's why I said that according to the number of the children of Israel, there was 24,000 for each month. So we see the first month had 24,000. We see the second month has 24,000, and then we get to the third month. Go ahead.
"The third captain of the host for the third month was Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, a chief priest, and his courts were 24,000. And that is that, this is that Benaniah, who was mighty amongst the 30 and above the 30, and in his courts was Amizabab, his son. The fourth captain of the fourth month was Asael, the brother of Joab, and Zebadiah, his son, after him, and in his course were 24,000. The fifth captain for the fifth month was Shammu of the Israelite, and in his course were 24,000. The sixth captain for the sixth month was Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite, and in his court were 24,000. The seventh captain for the seventh month was Helez, the Pelionite, of the children of Ephraim, and in his course were 24,000. And the eighth captain of the eighth month was Sibekai, the Hushathite of the Zarites, and in his course were 24,000. And the ninth captain of the ninth month was Abizer, the Anathite of the Benjamites, and in his course were 24,000. And the tenth captain of the tenth month was Mahara, the Naphtalite of the Zarites, and in his course were 24,000. And the 11th captain for the 11th month was Benaniah, the Periathite, of the children of Ephraim, and in his course were 24,000. And the 12th captain for the 12th month was Heldai, the Nephthite of Othniel, and in his course were 24,000.
And then, that's it. So here it is, King David, and how he ordered his house. The chief fathers, thousands, their officers served the king in any matter of courses. This was in any matter of courses. No matter what they was doing when it came to the service of the king, he had officers placed, and he had 24,000 people serving. Why 24,000? Why not 36,000? Why not 100,000? Why not 10,000? Why 24,000? That's just odd. This is to pick a random number. Well, if you learn about King David, this man was in tune with Yah, and nothing about him was random. When you start walking with Yah, and you start rubbing shoulders with Yah, and Yahweh's spirit becomes to come upon you, nothing you do is in random. Because you begin to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding as a God. And if Yahweh don't do things in random, Yahweh don't do things without purpose, then his witnesses, his servants don't do it without purpose. And let me show you that real quick. That go to 1 Samuel. It's important that you see this. The 16th chapter. What do it say in the 13th verse?
1 Samuel 16, verse 3 reads, "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which Yah spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice."
What verse are you at? 1 Samuel 16, verse 13.
"Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the spirit of Yah came upon David from that day forward."
From that day forward, and just start at the 12th verse and read that real quick.
"And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And Yahweh said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he."
Yahweh said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And who is this he? Hold your page there. Let's show you who this he is. This ain't no random he. This ain't just no insignificant he. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14 says,
"But now thy kingdom shall not continue. Yah have sought him a man after his own heart."
He done sought him a man after his own heart. My goodness, how can the Most High said a faithful man who can find? And here it is the Most High done found a man after Yahweh himself own heart? You would think that's impossible. But no, it's not impossible because Yahweh has raised this man up to have a heart like him. And it says what?
And Yah have commanded him to be captain over his people.
And commanded him to be captain over his people. I just want you to see who this he is. See, this, I can show you how he ordered his house. And one say, well, shoot, that don't prove nothing. That's how he ordered his house throughout all the months of the year. When you see who this he is and who ordered their house, then you will know, like, my goodness, we got to behold this. Yahweh said, behold my servant and my elect. This ain't no just no insignificant thing. David's house was Yahweh's house. This was a house that Yahweh established himself. Let me show you. Go back to where we was at. 1 Samuel 16 verse 13 says,
then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the spirit of Yah came upon David from that day forward.
The spirit of Yah came upon this man. That's what I said. When you got the spirit of Yah upon you, the things that you do is according to Yah. Everything, because now you got the spirit of Yah upon you. Only time you start doing things outside of the spirit of Yah is when Yahweh take his spirit from you like he did with Saul. And this man rejected the righteousness of Yah. He rejected the word of Yah. So Yahweh took his spirit from him. And when you seen that happen, you seen all hell break loose with Saul. But you will never one time read where Yahweh took his spirit from David. When David got that spirit upon him, that spirit ain't do nothing but grow brighter and brighter until his death. And he became very high. This man was set up on very high. There is no man that you can read about in these scriptures that's even higher than King David. And here it is. When I show the people, when we show the people that King David took his house and said, out of all the months of the year, and it only had 12 months, we're going to make that insignificant. And Yahweh said his spirit gathered this book. His spirit anointed David. His spirit was on David. His spirit established David's house. You can also see, go to 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. See, that's what we're talking about, the witnesses of Yah. This man's life as a testimony, he's a witness. Did not he say that in Isaiah 55? I will make the sure mercies of David with you. I have given him for a witness. That was in the 6th verse. I have given him for a witness. His whole life is a testimony. Because as soon as the spirit of Yah came upon him, it was him and Yah all the way through. What do it say in 1 Chronicles, the 28th verse, verse 19?
2 Chronicles 28, verse 19 reads, for Yahweh brought Yehuda low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Yehuda.
1 Chronicles 28 and 19.
All this, said David, Yah made me understand in writing by his hand upon me.
He made me understand in writing by his hand upon me. Yahweh hand upon thee.
Even all the works of this pattern.
What pattern? The pattern of Yahweh's house that he used the fifth witness, which is King Solomon. He used King Solomon to build this house. But who gave King Solomon the blueprint? The architectural writings on paper? David did. And who put it on that paper? David did. And why did he put it there? Because Yahweh's hand was upon him. Yahweh's spirit was upon him. Therefore, he had the understanding with him. Go to 1 Kings, the 4th chapter. So with this man, his whole life, he is a witness of Yah. And he will show you that was Yahweh delights in. He will also show you that was Yahweh do not delight in. He's a witness to both. Because everything he did, Yahweh was right there in tune with it. And when he made a mistake, Yahweh let you know the mistakes he made. And the Most High said, thou should not have diverse measures in your house. And if this man would have had diverse measures in his house, you would have seen Yahweh on the scene and told him, man, you know this is against wisdom. This is against the law. This is an abomination. A false balance is an abomination of Yah. But a just weight is his delight. And when he ordered his house, David, he knew exactly how to order his house through the spirit of Yah and Yahweh's hand upon him. 1 Kings, the 4th chapter. And guess what? This man ruled for 40 years in Israel. And you will never see his house ordered no other fashion but in the confines of 12 months. 12 months. 1 Kings, the 4th chapter. What do it say in the 7th verse?
And Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals for the king and his household, each man his month in a year made provision.
Each man his month was made, which provided victuals for the king and his household, each man his month in a what? In a year. Made provision. And we say, well, I don't care what King Solomon did. King Solomon don't mean nothing to me. That's what you're really saying. Because if I show you how this man ordered his house, and this don't mean nothing to you, well, King Solomon just don't, you don't see who King Solomon is. You haven't beheld Yahweh's servants and his elect. This is Yahweh's fifth witness. And we know what do five represent. What do the fifth represent? It represents Yah's increase. And we know that he represents Yah's increase. Why? Because if you look at the 29th verse of the same chapter, what do it say?
And Elohim gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much.
Wisdom and understanding exceeding much. And when the Most High is using, giving you increase, like he did on the fifth day of the week, he just didn't create the fish of the sea. He said he brought the fish of the sea in abundance, because on the fifth, it represents his increase. He multiplied them, brought them forth abundantly, and told them to multiply and increase in the earth. And here it is, this man understanding exceeding much gave him also
a largeness of heart.
He increased his heart. He made it large and just a regular man.
Even as the sand that is on the seashore.
Even as the sand that's on the seashore. You can't even fathom that. You can't even comprehend that. Go ahead.
And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men.
Where do you think all the wisdom of the earth today come from? It comes from the east, where Yahweh's name is, from the rising of the sun. That's where all the wisdom comes from. You can understand why all the wisdom comes from the east, because that's where the light comes from. That's where the light comes from. And that's all wisdom is. Wisdom is light. That's what the word of Yahweh is light. So you can understand why you think these empires today that's in the north and the west, they seek the wisdom of the east. Even Egypt, they still trying to go off of Egypt wisdom. But he says Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men
then Ethan, the Ezraite, and Haman, and Chakol, and Darda, the son of Mahal. And his fame was in all nations round about.
And he had so much increase, man. This man spoke 3,000 proverbs. Songs, his songs were 1,005. He spake of trees and cedar trees, Lebanon, even hyssop. And then we don't even have to start talking about this man's riches. The Most High told King Solomon that, ask me anything that you want. He asked for wisdom. And Yah said, I'm going to give you wisdom, but because you didn't ask for riches, I'm going to give you that in abundance. And I'm also give you long life if you walk in the ways of David, your father. And this man was the richest king, the wisest king. So now you can understand why he's the fifth. But what did he witness to? Here it is. This man had so much wisdom, and he was in tune with Yah. Yahweh spake to him, and he spake to Yah. And here it is. When he ordered his house, he did it in the confines of 12. And guess how long did he rule? For 40 years. And not once will you read this man changing the order of his house. And this might not mean much to you all, but if you love Yah, if you love Yahweh's word, this is going to mean everything to you. Mosiah said he loveth him that followeth out the righteousness. And these men, you can't get no closer to Yahweh than looking at these men. Let me show you something real quick. And this is astounding. This is very beautiful. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. This is going to show you why every matter of the course in David's house, it don't matter what course it was in, he only had 12 months that confined everything. Everything was in the confines of 12 throughout all the matters of course, even the armies. It was in the confines of 12. You look at Solomon's house. It was in the confines of 12. And let me show you why. What does it say in Deuteronomy 32, verse 8?
It reads, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And like it said in 1 Chronicles 27 and 1, it says the children of Israel after their number, to wit, people, we have to know what the number of the children of Israel is. What is the number of the children of Israel? Since this seems to be the order of David, the order of Solomon, this is the order of all the nations of the earth is according to the number of the children of Israel. Well, if you go to Genesis, go to Genesis real quick. And I believe it's in the 35th chapter, the 22nd verse.
Genesis 35, verse 22 reads, and it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Yaakov were 12.
The sons of Yaakov were what? 12. This was the number that the Most High used to divide the nations. This is obviously 12 is the number that David used to order his house. 12 is the number King Solomon used to order his house. This is the number Yah used to order the nations. And here it is. This is how many This is the number of the children of Israel. And who is this children of Israel? Who is this children of Israel? Well, the children of Israel is the firstborn son of Yah. Not only this is the firstborn son of Yah, go to the book of Jeremiah real quick. I got to shine this light to you, because if you don't see this light, then you're really not fully going to understand why 12. Why 12? And you ask yourself, just think logically now. Think realistically. You have a man, an established man, a righteous man, and he has a wife, and she's the wife of his youth. I mean, this is his first wife, like Jacob. Remember Jacob, he served 21 years for his wife. Was it 21 or 14? 14 years for his wife. And he said it was just like a couple days for him, because this was just his chief desire. No 14 years of servitude, and he went through a little bit of hell with his wages being changed up, losing sleep, working hard, because he was not only trying to get his wife, he was trying to establish his household. He wanted to be an established man so he can leave with possessions, leave with his wife, and go start his own house, his own family. And you imagine this kind of man. Ain't nothing in the world mean more to a man than his wife. And then the next thing is this man's firstborn son. A son. And then, yeah, a man want him a little girl, too. He want him a daughter, too. But a man's firstborn son is everything, because this is the one that's going to live on his name. His daughter one day going to get married to a man and take on his name. But the one that's going to live on the father's name is the son. And don't nothing mean more to a man than that. Why you think Abraham, he said, Yah, what shall you give me? You this exceeding great reward, but what you going to give me? I already got a wife. I got that. But I don't have a offspring. I don't have a son. And Yah told him, you look in these stars and that's your son. That's how many sons you're going to have. You can't even count how many sons you're going to have that's going to come out of your own loins. And don't nothing mean more to a man than this. And what's my point? People, there's nothing in this earth that means more to Yah than his wife. And yes, Yahweh has a wife. I know people have been thinking about that. Does Yahweh have a little old lady? He got a wife that he has. Well, yes, Yahweh does have a wife. She's not no little old lady, but he got a wife. And yes, Yahweh has a firstborn son. And I'm going to tell you, people, there's nothing that means more than that. And we know Yahweh's firstborn son is Israel. But who is his wife? But let me show you this real quick. What do it say in Jeremiah 31, 31?
Jeremiah 31, verse 31 reads, Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah.
Although I was a husband unto them. He let you know who his wife is right now. His people. He has been a husband unto us. Now you can understand how, man, they ain't nothing more important than Israel and this earth when it comes to Yah. Ain't nothing more important than Yahweh's wife. Ain't nothing more important than his firstborn son. And what does this have to do with Yahweh's witnesses? Well, these witnesses witness to that important fact. Why you think David's house was ordered after 12? Because 12 represents Yahweh's wife and his firstborn son. 12 represent the very thing Yahweh said he created for his glory and praise. 12 represents Yahweh's battle axe and weapon of war. 12 represents Yahweh's chiefest joy. He says, keep reading, watch this.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my law in their inward parts.
And skip to the 35th verse. What does that say?
Thus saith Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar.
He gave you the sun, he gave you the moon, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for lights by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahweh is his name. He's the one that created this. But who was he thinking about when he created it? Go ahead, keep reading.
If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
Yeah, when he created the sun and the moon and the stars, the one that he had in his mind is the one that he mentioned right here. He said, listen, if these ordinances depart from before me, then my wife, my firstborn son, my everything. That's why he say, this is my wife, my firstborn son, my this, my dad, because we everything to Yah. He don't need nothing else. He don't want nothing else. And he could have, Yahweh, do you think he didn't know? You think it was random that Jacob had 12 sons? Do you think that was random? Do Yahweh even live in random? Show me where a place where Yahweh lives in random. Yahweh has architected, orchestrated, and ordered this thing. That's why he said these ordinances, orders that he has set in place, that's everlasting ordinances. If these things can depart, then the seed of Israel also can cease from being a nation before me. And keep reading. Watch this.
Thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith
Yah.
Did
Yahweh measure the heaven? Yes, he did. He measured the heaven. And when he measured it, who did he have in mind? When he created it, who did he have in mind? He said, listen, he let you know. He said, even the foundations of the sea, if it can be measured, Yahweh can measure it. Yahweh measure everything he created. There's nothing Yahweh created that he didn't measure. But he know it's unmeasurable for man. It's only one person that can measure it. But when he created the heavens and measured it, even the seas and the sea beneath that cannot be measured, who did he have in mind?
Behold, the days come, saith Yah.
He says, I will also cast out the seed of Israel from all that they have done, says Yah, if you can do these things. He let you know when he even made these things, that's who he had in mind. His wife, his firstborn son, his everything. Why do you think in Jeremiah 33? He already let you know the sun and moon and stars, he had Israel in mind. He let you know with the heavens and the sea beneath, he had Israel in mind. He let you know also in Jeremiah 33, verse 20.
Thus saith Yah, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers.
You see why David is a witness? You can't get no stronger witness than this. And here it is. This man ordered his house in the confines of 12. And you will never see. And he said all the months of the year, all of them. And we had made that insignificant. We got a covenant of mercy, sure mercies, sure love and kindness because of this man. Named after him. And here it is, we are making insignificant. But who was Yahweh thinking about when he, even the first thing he did was make day and night and named it? And who did he have in mind? His wife, his firstborn, his everything. And do you think that this number 12 was random? and he didn't know that that number was going to be the number that represented his people? He already knew this. Why do you think that he divided the nations according to the children of Israel, and they weren't even on the earth yet? In Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. That was before they even came on the earth. So this 12 to Yah means something. That's why it's 12 months in a year. And what I want to show you people is that, go to Jeremiah 12 and 10. Let's see this real quick as well. I just want to shine a light just a little bit further on who this Israel is. Who this 12 is. What do this 12 represent? Go ahead.
Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion.
Man, this Israel is his vineyard.
And they have trodden my portion underfoot.
This is his portion. Uh-huh.
They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate. And being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places.
And what do it say? He said, and we skipped a couple of verses. We were supposed to start at the 8th verse. He says, no, the 7th verse. Read that.
I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage.
I don't forsake my house. And this all, Yahweh just want his house, which means family in Hebrew. You look that house up, it just means family. I've forsaken my house, and I left my heritage. My heritage.
I have given the dearly beloved of my soul.
This is the dearly beloved of my soul. We got to understand who Israel is. And then you can understand what that 12 represents and why this is the order of Yahweh's time. You understand why this is the order of the earth. What I'm going to show you today, this evening, this night, is that 12 is the axis of the earth, along with the number 7. But 12 is the axis of the earth. Because everything, an axis is something that which the earth revolves around. And it's not this invisible line through the earth that the heathens will teach you. No, this axis is 12. Why do you think it's a 12 at the top of your clock? And round them hands go. And it's going around 12. You think that 12, it could have been anything on that 13, 14, any number could have been at the top of that clock. But here it is, 12 again. Every day, you can't run from that 12. The Most High said, he ruleth in the kingdom of men. That's what Daniel was raised up to show the people. Here it is, Daniel ruled up under the highest king that ever ruled. And Yahweh's sole purpose was to show that I don't care how high a king get, you can get the highest king. I rule in the kingdom of men. Why do you think it's 12 hours on the clock? Because Yahweh rules in the kingdom of men. Why do you think it's 7 days in a week? Because Yahweh rules in the kingdom of men. Why do you think that it's against the law to murder people? Because Yahweh rules in the kingdom of men. Why do you think it's against the law to steal? Because Yahweh rules in the kingdom of men. And in these kingdom of men, they can't run from a 30-day month. And they can't run from a 360-day year. What's 30 times 12? Yes, 360. And we got to dove into this 360 tonight because the minutes, the hours, and the second hands is going in the, it's only 1 degree they can go in, and that's 360 degrees. If you start at the 12 and you get all the way back to that 12, it's only one number you can come out to, and that's 360. And what's 360? 360, a number that represents perfection. Why do it represent perfection? Because perfect just means whole. It means whole. It means complete. And a whole revolution, a whole circle, is 360 degrees. When you get to 361, 365, Anything past 360, 390, well, that's an overlap. It's just started over. You think it's overlapping, but no, it just started over. All the way from 1 degree. I wanted to show you that 12 is everything to Yah. That's why you can't get yourself away from 12. You go into your supermarkets and get a dozen of eggs, you can't get away from 12. You go into Lowe's and what's the other one called? Home Depot. And you start getting your lumbers and stuff. Everything they're doing is according to inches and yards and feet. Why do you think a foot is 12 inches? Because this was set by Yah from the beginning of time. Now we can just look around and just see, my goodness, Yahweh really loves his people. Everything is ordered after this 12. The moon, a perfect circle. And the moon is 360 degrees, which is 30 times what? 12. The sun is a perfect circle. 360 degrees. A perfect circle can only be 360 degrees. Why you think the sun and the moon and the stars? He said, man, these ordinances represent my people that's going to live forever. They won't cease and my people won't cease. Let me show you this in a book of Numbers, the 7th chapter, verse 84. We don't deal with no, the Most High don't deal with no random insignificance, nothing. We're trying to show the people that it's a time for every season, and it's a purpose to every time, period. A diverse measure is an abomination to Yah. And if you're talking about what, 1 month is 29 and one is 30, Yahweh don't deal with them kind of measures. 1 week is 8 and 1 week is 7. Y'all don't deal with them kind of measures. 1 year is 12 and one is 13. Y'all don't deal with them kind of measures. And if he do, well, show me a witness. Show me a witness. Numbers 7, verse 84 says,
this was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel. 12 charges of silver, 12 silver bowls, and 12 spoons of gold.
Why? Keep reading.
Each charger of silver weighed 130 shekels, each bowl 70.
Yeah, so it start that over real quick.
This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel. 12 charges of silver.
12 charges of silver.
12 silver bowls.
12 silver bowls.
And 12 spoons of gold.
And 12 spoons of gold. Why? Well, if you're starting to get some understanding, you can see this is the confines of which Yahweh does things in, because everything he do, when he created the day, he had Israel on his mind. When he named and created the night, Israel was on his mind. When he separated on the second day the heavens from the waters, and measured the heavens, measured the waters, he had Israel on his mind. He created the sun, moon, and he had Israel on his mind. So now you can see, if he had Israel on his mind, well, he had 12 on his mind. Do you know that the heavens go around the earth? The heavens is in a 360 degree circle. Did you not know the earth was a circle? Oh, no, they didn't know that. Let's go to the book and show them that real quick before we keep going. Isaiah, the 40th chapter. The reason you didn't know that is because you was listening to your enemies when they told you the earth was flat. And you got people still talking that madness today. They try to get slick with it today and say, well, it's still flat. It's just a flat circle. What on earth is we talking about here? Isaiah 40, verse 22 says,
It reads, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in."
Yeah, he stretched out the heavens. He sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And you can go get you a 1611 King James Bible that says the same thing as this. And during that time, they was teaching that the earth is flat. They was teaching it. And Yahweh said, no, the earth is a circle. And now they can got pictures and everything showing, man, they can prove, they done took pictures. Oh, the earth is a circle. We was dead wrong. And if you don't believe that the moon is a circle, a perfect circle, ain't no little floppy, rigidy, crooked, or mangled circle. It's a perfect circle because all the work of Yah is perfect. He don't create no imperfected circles. Where is that at? That's in Isaiah, the third chapter. He said, man, what do a circle? What is this man talking? Now he's talking about moons and circles. You know why? Because a circle is what we live in. The clock is a circle. Round and round we go. And what I'm trying to show you is that this circle that we live in is in the confines of 12. Because what is a perfect circle? 12 times 30, which you will get 360 degrees. The earth is 12. The moon is 12. The sun is 12. And you just times about that 30 and you'll get exactly what you need. But if you use any other ingredients outside of that 12, your math is going to be off. What do it say in Isaiah 3 verse 8?
"For Jerusalem is ruined, and Yehuda is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against Yah, to provoke the eyes of his glory, to show of their continence, do of witness against them, and they declare sin as Sodom. They hid it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves."
Did I give you the wrong chapter and verse? Maybe it was Jeremiah 3 and 8. And I told you, Isaiah 3 and 8. And this is a beautiful scripture that you want to be just a little patient and wait for. Because when you got the truth, can't nobody lie to you then. It's Isaiah 3 and 18, not 3 and 8. And I only have 5 minutes left.
Isaiah 3 verse 18 reads, "And in that day, Yah will take away the bravery of the tinkling of their tinkling ornaments."
Yes.
"About their feet and their claws and their round tires like the moon."
Their round tires like the moon. Because the moon is round. The moon is a circle. And what are we talking about? King David, King Solomon, the fourth and fifth witness that Yahweh year only had 12 months. And we know it was 30 days in each month. And what is a year defined? A year is a revolution of time. What is a revolution? It's a revolving of a circle. That's what a revolution is. So a year is time that goes into a revolution. And if it starts in one place, when it gets back to where it started, it's 360 degrees. No wonder we teaching and witnessing that it's 360 days in a year. Because you can't get past 12 and you can't get past 30. "Add not to Yahweh's word and take not from it, lest ye be found a liar, lest ye be found a false witness,
And we can't show you no other witnesses in this scripture that's going to witness anything other than this. And we can see, and see what I'm bringing is, now we can understand why 12 though. Because this 12 means everything to y'all. And he done shown you, what, I don't care, he created the sun. Let me show you how powerful this scripture is right here. This is one of those scriptures, if you're an Israelite and you love Yah, you want to read this scripture every day. Go to Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Start at verse 12. And you see what verse we're starting at, right? 12.
And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven.
This is when he said, behold. This is something, like I said, when he said, behold, my elect and my servant. And when the Yahweh says, behold something, you better behold it. Behold, check this out. The heaven
and the heaven of heavens,
even the heaven of heaven,
is Yah, the Elohim.
We know it's all Yahweh's. There is no heaven that is exactly Yahweh's.
The earth also, with all that therein is.
In the earth and all that therein is.
Only Yah had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day.
The Most High said, man, I didn't choose the heavens and what's ever in the heavens. We, it's stuff up there we don't know about. The things on earth alone is already beautiful enough, but Yahweh said everything that's in the earth. He delight in is our fathers to love them. And he loved them so much, he allowed his heritage to come through these men. And he chose the seed after them, even the 12 sons of Jacob, even the 12 tribes of Israel. No wonder the order of the nations from the beginning was separated by 12. Yahweh wanted the nations to know, y'all separate according to my 12. Even when in Genesis, when he told Jacob, told Isaac, man, your son is still going to be blessed. He had Jacob and Esau. No, was it Abraham? He said, man, your son Ishmael will still be blessed. Let's read this. Go to verse 20, I believe. He wanted all the nations, all the earth, to know who was chief. 17 to 20 says,
and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation.
Why 12 princes? If you don't know the answer to that question, you ain't been listening. Why was Ishmael still blessed, but the Most High said, I'm going to give him 12 princes? Why 12 princes? Because it's according to the children of Israel. It's all according to the children of Israel. This is why this is the axis of the earth. Let me show you just a little bit more. Exodus 24 and 4, what does that say?
Exodus 24, verse 4 reads, and Moses wrote all the words of Yah, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel.
12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Go to Exodus 28, 21. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name, shall they be according to the 12 tribes. All around this book. Go to Exodus 39 and 14. No wonder if you see them 12 spoons on the table on Yahweh's sanctuary, Man, why Yahweh got 12 spoils? If you don't know the answer, well, you just don't know Yah. Exodus 39, verse 14.
And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, everyone with his name, according to the 12 tribes.
I'm trying to get to this one. I think it's Numbers 31, verse 38. It's all over this book how many times you will see Yahweh, this everything with 12. The patterns that King David understood by writings because of Yahweh's hand, and when he gave it to Solomon, that thing had all so many 12s in it, you probably couldn't count them. It says, Numbers 31, verse 38,
and the beasts were 36,000, of which Yah's tribute was 72. And the asses were 30,500, of which Yah's tribute was 61.
Is that the one I'm looking for? No, that's not the one. What do it say in Joshua 4:9?
It reads, and now Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day.
Now, it don't tell you there that these 12 stones he set in Jordan was according to the number of Israel. But why did he set them there? If you don't have the answer to that by now, you just ain't been listening. And I'm not going to keeping you because I know we all get the point. King David ordered his house through the confines of 12. He was our fourth witness. Solomon ordered his house in the confines of 12. He was our fifth witness. And why 12? Because 12 represents Yahweh's everything. 12 represents his glory. Did not he create Israel for his glory and his praise? So 12 represents his praise as well. And we're going to show you that Israel is Yahweh's, one of Yahweh's wonders. And just like I said in the beginning, if you put that 7 on it, then Yahweh has, that means he separated it. And yes, he has 7 witnesses that he separated from the fold. The Most High had many wonders, but he got 7 wonders that he has separated from the fold. And we're going to bring forth these wonders to you. And of course, if they're in the confines of 7, then they're of the order of 7. And we know what the 4th represents. It represents Yahweh's praise. Israel is the 4th wonder, and we're going to prove it to you, show you. But with that being said, I hope you all seen the truth. I hope Yahweh blessed you all. Yahweh loves you all. So do I. Shalom, shalom.